All right, so let's see. So we are continuing today on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis 144b, and we are picking up again, continuing still with some of the interesting halachas concerning schita. So Rava Amar Mishmo. So the Gemara says as follows: Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmo. So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmo, fascinating halacha: Sochet Adam Eshkol Shal Anavim L'Socha Kedera Avalo L'Socha Kara. So let's listen to this. So Shmuel says a person could squeeze a cluster of grapes into a kedera. So let's say kedera means a pot, but in this context it means a pot of food. So a person could go ahead and squeeze a cluster of grapes into a pot of food, but not into a plate. So let's say again, what's the chilek? So the Gemara, look at Rashi for just a moment. L'socha kedera shal tafshil l'takno. So you could squeeze a cluster of grapes into a pot of food in order to better the food. So Shmuel introduces this incredible yisod, which is that when you squeeze liquid into food, that is not viewed as squeezing liquid. Instead, how is that viewed? That is viewed as squeezing food. Any liquid that is squeezed into food, by definition, has the status of food, bless you, and not liquid. So therefore, again, squeezing a cluster of grapes into a pot of food is going to be totally fine, because that's like ochel is och ochel, but you can't squeeze a cluster of grapes into an empty bowl or into an empty plate, because lemaisa, that'll be schita. Rashi says, avalo l'soch hakaro, tizidnin de lemashke koi, va'af agav de beka'ara, lo. Lo shasi inish lav muchacha milsa ve'ika iser. Therefore, we'll say halacha lemaisa. And the act of squeezing it into the bowl, which allows the liquid to kind of exist on its own, will halacha lemaisa be aser as chida. So we'll say. So Shmuel here is introducing us to this incredibly fundamental yisod in Hilchos Schita, which is schita l'soch ochlin, squeezing liquid into solid food, by definition, will not be called schita, because liquid that is squeezed into food, that liquid takes on food status, which makes sense, since the liquid is being used as an additive to food, so the liquid itself takes on food status, and therefore is not schita. So the Gemara goes right there, Amar Rav Chista, Medivrei Rabbeinu Nilmad. So Rav Chista said, you know, from Shmuel's words, we could learn the following, Cholev Adam Eiz, L'soch HaKedera, Avalo L'soch HaKara. Similarly, a person can milk a goat, and as long as the milk goes right into a pot of food and not into an empty bowl, then halacha lemaisa, it should be mutter. Alma kasaber mashke habala ochel ochelu. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that liquid which goes into a food has the status of what? Has the status of food. We'll say this is the fundamental yisod. Liquid squeezed into food has the status of food. So the Gemara says, "Masiv Rabbi Bar Chama." So Rabbi Chama raised the kasha, "Zav shecholiv es ha'iz." So what's about the following case? Listen to this interesting case. You have a zav, right? So a zav is tame. A zav is milking a goat. He's milking a goat. So what's the halacha? Ha'chalav tame. The chalav itself, the milk itself that comes out of the goat that's being milked by the zav, is going to be tame. Rashi says, "Shazav metame kol dover b'masa." So, because remember again, the zav is metame things through carrying it or through moving it. So when he's milking the goat, he's obviously moving the udder. So because he's moving the udder, directing the spray of the milk, by definition, he will make the milk tame. So the Gemara says, but 1 second. So the Gemara says, zav shechol b'saeis hachalav tame v'yamrit mashka b'ale ochlin ochel hu b'mayis kasher. But 1 second. Let's assume for a moment that the zav is milking the milk, and the milk is going into food. So lemaisa, that means the milk is food. And if the milk is food, Rabbi will say, the only way food is mekabel tumah is if it first had hechsher, if it first came in contact with a liquid. So how could the milk become tameh if it was never hochshar through a liquid? So the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Yochanan betipah meluchlecha sapi adad," because often there's a little bit of there's like droplets of milk at the opening of the udder. Those droplets of milk at the opening of the udder allow the milk that comes out of it to become hokshur lekabel tuma. Hachanami betipa miluchleches al pi hadad. Masiv Ravina. So Ravina raises a kasha. Vinrei zekasha meis shesacha tamei meis shesacha zaysin va'anavim. Listen to this case. So we'll say, I have a person who is tamei meis, right? He came in contact with a corpse, therefore has ritual impurity from a meis. And what happens? He goes ahead and he squeezes out zaysin va'anavim. He squeezes out the liquid from olives and grapes. So listen to this interesting halacha. Top of kuf mem hei kebetzin lechuvenes. If the grape or the olive in question is exactly the size of a base, exactly the size of an egg, tahar. Then ultimately, again, the liquid which comes out will be tahar. Why is that, Rabosai? Because remember, when it comes to Tumas Ochlin, so the only time that food has the ability to contract Tumah is when it is at least the size of a kebetza. The problem is, if you have an egg or you have an olive that is exactly the size of a kebetza, the moment you squeeze it, it loses its shear. It loses its amounts. And therefore, again, the liquid which comes out of it is, technically speaking, coming out of something that is less than the size of the kebetza. So because of that, the liquid which comes out of it will be tahar. So the Gemara says, Yosem mi kebetza, but if the olive or the egg in question are larger than a kebetza, tamei. Then einachinami, the liquid that comes out will be tamei. 1 second. V'yamrit mashka b'ala ochel, ochel hu. But if you say in general, that liquid that comes out, that goes into food, that liquid doesn't have the status of liquid, but rather that liquid has the status of food. But my is kasher. So people say, let's assume over here that the tummy mace is squeezing olive or squeezing the grape into a pot of food. So the mice, again, that liquid, can, now that you're telling, you Shmuel said before, that liquid that goes into food has the status of food. In order for food to be makabel tuma, it has to become hukshar, right? What's the right word? Readied or susceptible to tumah. How does a food item become susceptible to tumah? Through contact with a liquid. So how did these droplets that are going to come out of the grapes or come out of the olives, how do they become hokshar? Humosavla vahumefarikla besochi lusocha ki'ara. All right, we'll say, what's the case over here? The case of tamei meis that we're talking about over here is the case of where he's squeezing the grape or squeezing the olive into a bowl. So therefore, again, we'll say, this is a case where halacha lemaisa, it's not being squeezed into food. If it's not being squeezed into food, remember again, this is the difference between the lashon of kedera and ka'ara. Kedera means a pot of food, liquid being squeezed into food. Ka'ara just means a plate. So the case we're talking about over here is where the liquid is just being squeezed straight into a plate. And ultimately, again, that's why it doesn't have to become hoksha l'kabel tumah. Amrab Yirmiyah kitanoi. So we'll say, so remember, we're getting into now, well, let's see. Amrab Yirmiyah kitanoi. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, in reality, this is a machlokes tanoim. Now, what's a machlokes tanoim? This concept that Shmuel stated as a fact may, in fact, be a machlokes tanoim. Remember, again, Shmuel told us that mashkin habalusoch ochlin, that if liquid comes into food, that liquid is no longer viewed as liquid, but rather is viewed as ochel, is viewed as food. We'll say, what does that mean practically? Practically, what that means is you could squeeze that juice on Shabbos. So, for example, if you will say, so you want to go ahead and you want to add some lemon juice. This happens in the Lemaisa, right? You have a piece of fish. You want to add some lemon to your fish or some olive oil to your fish. So you want to go ahead and squeeze that out. So we would have thought up until Shmuel's statement, absolutely usher. You can't go ahead and squeeze liquid out of a fruit or liquid out of anything on Shabbos. Kamash Malon, since that lemon juice or since that olive oil is going onto a piece of food, that liquid itself has the status of food. And because it has the status of food, it is not subject to schita. Because remember again, schita is something very specific. What is schita? Squeezing out a liquid from a solid mass. But the liquid that goes into food doesn't have the status of liquid. It has the status of food itself. So Rabbi Yirmiyah wants to suggest this is a machlokes tanaim. In other words, whether or not mashke habala ochel ochel hu, when you have liquid that goes into a food, is that liquid considered to be a liquid or is it considered to be a food? Is it machlokes tanaim? Where does this come from? Well, this is actually quite fascinating. Hamachlik ba'anovim. Supposedly, listen to this. This is talking about a baker who would smear a little bit of grape juice, on the loaves of his bread. Now, the reason he would do this bepashtos was to go ahead and create some type of shine on the loaf. So the shaila is, does the presence of that little bit of grape juice, is that hook, is that machshir? Does that allow the loaves to be makabel tuma or not? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hochsh, sorry, Hamachlik ba Navim lo Hochsh. So the Rabbanan say that if you go out and you smear your loaf with some grape juice, it's not Machshir at Lakabal Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hochshir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it is Hochshir Lakabal Tumah. My love, Bahakamifka, we'll say, are they not arguing about the following case or about the following point? Mar Sabar Mashke Bali Ochel Ochel Hu. So one opinion says, and this is the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say that halacha lemaisa, liquid that comes into a food has the status of food. Therefore, we don't view the bread as having come in contact with liquid. We view the bread as having come in contact with food. Umar safar lav ochalu. The other opinion says no. When liquid comes into contact with a solid, right? Mashke balaso ochel is still called a mashke, and if it's still called a mashke, therefore it is machshir lekabel tumah. Amra Papa, no. The Kuli Alma, Mashka Habali Ochel Lav Ochelhu. So that Papa says, in reality, everyone agrees that halacha, now, this is we're going to see this is not the halacha l'maisa, but for now, Rav Papa says, everyone agrees that when liquid is squeezed into food, that liquid does not take on the status of food, but still retains its identity as a liquid. V'hacha b'mashke habali ibud kamiflagi. And I will say, here they're arguing about something else. About what happens, what's the status of a liquid that's put onto something, but the liquid itself is going to disappear. Hochin le'ibud. So we'll say, so remember again, that's the case of the bread. If you think about it, right, you smear some of the grape juice on the bread, and then what happens when you put the bread on in the oven? The liquid evaporates. So what's the impact of a liquid that evaporates? Hochin le'ibud, it just goes away. What's the impact of that liquid upon the solid mass to which it's applied? Mar savar mashkehu. One opinion says that even though the liquid is going to quote unquote go, is going to be destroyed, is going to disappear, it still has the status of a mashke. Umar savalav mashkehu, and one of the other opinions says, no, since it's going to go, the but it's going to be destroyed, it's going to evaporate. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, it really has no halachic impact on the solid item. Or bepluta dahani tanoi. In reality, this machlokes is another machlokes tanoi. This sanyo, hamifatsea bezesim biadai misu avos. So we'll say, so literally translated, so this is interesting, Lashon, mifatzea literally means, like petza, means to wound, to injure, or to bruise. So we'll say, this is the Lashon, interestingly enough, used by olives. You would bruise olives. Interesting. All right, so why would they bruise olives? So we're going to see they would bruise olives for a number of different reasons. So we'll see in just a moment. Mifatzea zeisim biyadayim misu'avos. So we'll say, let's say I have my hands are tameh. I bruise my olives with my tame hands. Then I will say, now remember again, now just so you understand what's happening over here is, my hands are tame, now the olives themselves are solid, but now that I bruise them, what happens? There's some liquid that comes out. So what's going to be the shayla? The shayla is, does the liquid medium, that which comes out of the bruised olives, now make the olives hukshir lekabel tumah? And if so, my hands, which are tame, have the ability to convey tuma to the olives. So the Gemara says, if you go out and you bruise your olives with tame hands, the olives are hochshar lekabel tuma. Rashi says, hochshar, the nechale b'mishcha de tayif alayu shemitoch kach, hey marbim tam. Because it was interestingly enough, why? Because I want the liquid to come out of the olives. Why do I want the liquid to come to the olives? Because apparently, bruised olives are sweeter or better tasting. That's the way the Gemara is operating. So therefore, again, I'm happy with the fact that the liquid is coming out because the quality of the olives is enhanced. Therefore, it's hokshe lekabel tumah. On the flip side, l'safosan b'melach. We'll say, what happens if I bruise the olive? I want the liquid to come out. But the reason I want the liquid to come out is why? Because we'll say, the problem is, if you have a totally dry olive and you want to dip it in salt, the salt does not adhere to the exterior. So sometimes what you would do is if you wanted the salt to stay on the olive, you would bruise the olive a little. This way the salt will remain with the liquid. So if that's your intent, lo hochshar, then I will say, then the liquid is not machshir. Why? Because I will say, in that case, I don't really want the liquid. It's not the liquid that I want. It's really just the salted olive. The liquid is just a means to the end. So therefore, again, it will not be machshirit. Leidam higia zesav limsokim lav. Similarly, again, if I want to bruise the olive to see if the olive is ready to be pressed or not, lo hochshar. Then again, Rabbi will say, I don't really want the liquid. I just want to know what stage of maturation the olive is at. So what you begin to see is, If you bruise the olive and you want the liquid, like in case number one, then the liquid makes the olive hochshal kabel tuma. But if you're bruising the liquid, if you're bruising the olive and liquid comes out and you don't really want the liquid just serves some other purpose, then halacha lemaisa, you do not, the olive is not hochshal kabel tuma. Rabbi Huda Omer hochshar, Rabbi Huda says in all of these cases, the olive is hochshal kabel tuma. So the Marzim Allah Bahakam Eflagi, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about the following case. One opinion says that a liquid, even if it's going to be destroyed, right, in other words, it's going to go to waste, it's not going to be used, it's still called the mashke, and therefore it's still machshir an item lekabel tuma. Umar sarah lav mashke. And the other opinion says, no, if it's holchin le'ibud, if it's just going to be destroyed, it's not a mashke. Amar Rav Huri Rav Yehoshua, hani tanai b'mashke omi le'ibud pligi, v'hanach tanai b'mashke omi le'tzach tzicho pligi. So I will say, interestingly enough, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says, in reality, they are arguing about two different things. Right? They will say one opinion is arguing about whether or not mashkin ha'omed li'ibud ultimately is going to go ahead and be a If mashkina ochel le'ibud, is that considered to be a mashka or not? And the second machlokas, which is the machlokas by the loaf, is what happens when you go ahead and you just use a liquid for smearing purposes. Well, remember again, go back to the loaf case. Why would you be putting grape juice on the outside of your loaves? Only to create a little bit of a shine. In other words, there was no real taste there. There was no real loaf enhancement there. So the shaila is, what's the status? What's the impact of that liquid on the loaf? So two different machloksim. So we have machloksa, what's the status of liquid? Or what's the impact of liquid? When the liquid itself is just going to be lost and disappear, it's not going to remain. What's the impact on the solid item with that liquid? And second machlokas is, if you just use a liquid to create the shine on a solid item, what's the impact of the liquid on that item? Okay. Amar Bizeira, Amar Avchi, Barashi, Amar Av. Sochet Adam Eshkol Shalanavim Lesocha Kedera, Avalo Lesocha Kara. So we'll say, we go back to what we said before. Rabbi Zera said the name of Rav Chia Bar Ashi in the name of Rav. So we'll say, before we had it stated in the name of Shmuel, now it's being stated in the name of Rav. Sochet Adam Eshkol Shalanavim Lesocha Kedera. Person could squeeze a cluster of grapes into a pot of food, Avalo Lesocha Kara, but not into a plate. Supposed to say, again, remember, this is the same idea that we said before. You could squeeze the cluster of grapes into a pot of food. Why? Because squeezing liquid, mashke haba, lusoch ochel ke ochel hu. Liquid squeezed into food has the status of solid food. However, again, into an empty plate, then the liquid itself is considered liquid, and therefore it's aser. So the Gemara said, furthermore, the daglet tzira avi lusoch akara, and you could squeeze the brine out of fish, and that could be squeezed even into a plate. Even not into food. Rashi says, daglet tziro. Schitas daglet hotzi tziro. Lav mashku eloch. Because we'll say why. Because the stuff that comes out of a fish doesn't have the status of mashke, has the status of ochel. And therefore, aloch lemaisa, you could squeeze out a fish even into a plate, not even right into an empty plate. Doesn't have to be a pot of food. Yosef Rav Dimi v'kamar le'la hashmaisa. So Rav Dimi was sitting and saying over this ruling, Amar le'abay l'Rav Dimi, asun mishmei d'Rav Masnisen. You quoted this ruling in the name of Rav, v'lo kashi l'chu, and therefore you have no problems. Anan mishmei d'Shmuel masanin ala v'kashi lan. But we quote in the name of Shmuel, we quote what we had on the base, and that yields some problems. Why? What's the plan about saying? Mi amar Shmuel dagli tzira afilo socha kara. The Shmuel hold that you could squeeze out the liquid of a fish, even not into a pot of food, but even into an empty plate. Vaha itmar, but we learned, listen to this. Kvashim shesachtan. But say, let's say, remember, kvashim are pickled vegetables. Pickled vegetables. So we'll say, so this is a little bit different. Remember, in the case of pickled vegetables, so the moisture, the liquid that you have from the vegetables is from the pickling process. In other words, that's liquid which was introduced from an external process. So now I want to squeeze out some of the liquid. So kvashim shesachtan amarav legufan mutter lememehen apater. So Rav says, if you did it because you want the vegetables, I just want to eat the vegetable, I don't want all the liquid in it, then it's mutter. However, if you did it because you want the juices, you want the pickling juices, then ultimately, again, it's patra aval aser. She's going to be aser midirabanon. Shlakus, what about cooked vegetables? Bein lugufan, bein lemehen mutter. So shlakus, we'll say, Rav holds that halacha lemaisa, whether you want to squeeze out the liquid because you want the vegetable without the liquid, or you want the liquid itself, either way, it is going to be mutter. Because we'll say, apparently Rav holds that the liquid inside of cooked vegetables is considered to be like ochel, not like mashke. Ushmuel or Shmuel says, echad kivashim ve'echad shlakus, whether again you have pickled vegetables or cooked vegetables, lugufan mutter, if you squeeze out the liquid because you want the vegetable without liquid, then that is mutter. However, lememehen, patra avalasar. But if you're squeezing it out ultimately, again, because you want the juices, it'll be asar midrabanar. Amarlei, so he said to him, ha'elokim, Eine ra'u velozar mi pumeid Rab Yirmiyah Shmiali, Rab Yirmiyah Mirab Zera, Rab Zera Mirav Chia Bar Ravashi, Rav Chia Bar Ashi Mirav. So ultimately, and Rabbi Yosei said, I heard, remember Rabbi Yosei, this whole discussion began because Rav Dimi was saying over this ruling. Abaye said to Rav Dimi, you know, you're saying it over in the name of Rav. I heard in the name of Shmuel, and the problem is, if it's the name of Shmuel, it's contradictory. To which Rav Dimi now responds, I have direct testimony that in fact that statement was made by Rav. So also, therefore, again, it turns out that the statement we originally attributed to Shmuel on Kuf Mem Dalam Abayis was really said by Rav, and Rav teaching us two important principles. Number one, that if you squeeze out liquid into food, the liquid has the status of food. Therefore, you could squeeze a cluster of grapes, says Rav, mamish into a pot of food. Why? Because that liquid is no longer considered to be like liquid, rather considered to be like food. Furthermore, apparently, again, you could also go ahead and squeeze out the brine of fish, even not into food, even into a ka'ara, because anything that comes from a fish has the status of food, not the status of liquid. Gufa, let's go back and analyze. Kavashim shesachtan, if you have cooked pickled vegetables and you squeeze out the juice, Amarav legufan mutlam emehen pater. So Rav said, if you're squeezing it out because you want the vegetable, then it's going to be mutter. However, for the juices, it'll be patra avalasu, shlakus, cooked vegetables, bein lugufan, bein lememehen mutter. Whether you're squeezing it out ultimately because you want the vegetable, you want the juices, it'll be mutter either way. Ushmuel or Shmuel said no, echad zeh, lugufan mutter, lememehen patra avalasu. I'll say Shmuel has a much more symmetrical shita, and Shmuel's shita is like this. Listen. And whether it's cooked vegetables or pickled vegetables, the halacha is like this. If you want the liquids, if you're squeezing because you want the liquids, it's asr midrabanan. That's asr midrabanan. But if halacha lemaisa, and I will say the reason it's asr midrabanan, because remember again, these are interesting cases where, as opposed to the olive or the grape, where the liquid itself is inherently inside the item, these items have their liquid because it's being infused by an external process, either by cooking or by pickling. So Shmuel will say, you can't squeeze it out if you want the liquids, it's only an asr midrabanan. But if you're squeezing it out because you want a drier food item, I want the pickled vegetable without all the pickling juice of the brine, I want the cooked vegetable without all of the moisture, that's totally mutter. So the Marz Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Echad Kvashim ve'echad Shlakas, Lagufan Mutter, Nemehen Chayiv Chatas. Wow. So Rabbi Yochanan says no. Whether it's pickled vegetables, cooked vegetables, if you're squeezing out the liquid because you want to eat the vegetable without the liquid, it's mutter. But if you're squeezing it out because you want the juices, Chayiv Chatas. It's an Isir Da'oraisa. A very dramatic sheet, I will say. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, Sochtin Kvashim v'Shabbos, Tzorach HaShabbos. Avalo lematzei Shabbos. So let's listen to this braisa. You could squeeze out pickled vegetables on Shabbos for usage on Shabbos, but you can't squeeze it out for matzei Shabbos. Bezeisim v'anavim lo yischot. But olives and grapes you should never squeeze. V'imsachat chayiv chatos. And if you did squeeze it, yichayiv chatos. It's a daraisa. So the Gemara says, this braisa poses a problem according to everyone. Kash l'Rav, kash l'Shmuel, kash l'Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Matarez Atameh, Shlomo Matarez Atameh, Rabbi Yochanan Matarez Atameh. So everyone's going to answer up the braisa according to their own reasoning. Rav Latamis Latare. So Rav will explain the braisa as saying, Sochtin kivashim b'shabbos atzorech ha-shabbos, avalo l'matzei Shabbos. So when the braisa says that you could squeeze pickled vegetables on Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos, but not for matzei Shabbos, when is that so according to Rav Medram Amurim? L'gufan. That's true if you're squeezing it out ultimately because you want the vegetable itself without the liquid. Aval mehen, but if you're squeezing it to extract the liquids, pater aval aser. Ultimately, again, it will be aser midrabanan ushlakas when it comes to cooked vegetables. Bein lugufan, bein lemehen, mutter. whether you're doing so ultimately, again, cooked vegetables, whether you're squeezing out the liquid for the vegetable itself or because you want the liquids, it'll be mutter. Olives and grapes. Olives and grapes, you can't squeeze it all in. If you did so, you're chayiv chatas. Shmuel also explains this according to his reasoning. He will say, sochtin kivashim b'shabbos atzorech ha-shabbos. Huadin l'shlokus. So we'll say you could go ahead and squeeze out pickled vegetables on Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos. Same idea with cooked vegetables. B'medram, when is this? So the gufan, if you want the vegetable without the liquid, aval le'mehen, but for its liquids, pater aval aser. V'zeisim v'anavim, but when it comes to olives and grapes, lo yischot, you should not squeeze it at all. You should not squeeze it at all. Bimsachat chayiv chatos. And if you did squeeze it, you are chayiv chatos. Rabbi Yochanan explains it according to his reasoning. Sochtin kivashim mitzorach haShabbos, avalol lematzei Shabbos, echad kivashim ve'echad shlokas. Remember, when is this so? Legufan. So also remember, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that halach l'maisa, you can't squeeze anything if ultimately, I'm sorry, you can squeeze it for Shabbos purposes if you want the item itself without the liquid. Aval mehen, but if you're squeezing it for the liquids, lo yischot, you may not squeeze it. Vim sachat, but if you did so, nase kimisha sachat zesim v'anavim v'chayiv chatos. So also in Rabbi Yochanan's model, the act of squeezing pickled vegetables or cooked vegetables for the sake of getting their liquids is no different than squeezing olives and grapes, and therefore will be chayiv or will be aser midda oraisa. So the Gemara says as follows: Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav. So Rav Chiya bar Ashi said in the name of Rav, namely that halacha lemaisa zaysim va. I'm sorry, dvar Torah inu chayiv ela adrisas zaysim va anavim bilbad. So we'll say midda oraisa, the iser of schita of dash only applies to olives and grapes. Take a look at Rashi, Divar Torah. Kilomar asra Torah malacha, udrisas zesim va'anavim hu, dahav yo malacha. Aval shadrichos lav archayo b'haki, v'lav malacha ninu. So we'll say, Rav seems to be saying over here, the only da'oraisa of schita, of mefarek, of dash, is going to be olives and grapes. However, again, bilvad, v'chein tanu de b'minashi Divar Torah, Eino chayiv ela al drisas zesim va'anavim bilvad. So we'll say, so that seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara, that halacha lemaisa, the isur da'oraisa of schita, will only apply to zesim va'anavim. Everything else will be aser, but will be aser midrabanon. Will be aser midrabanon. So again, we're going to see the halacha lemaisa. They also said a couple of other things. Ve'ein aid mi pi aid kasher. Furthermore, in general, we'll say you can't collect testimony. This is all statement of Debe Menashe, Tan Debe Menashe. You can't get aid mi pi aid. Aid mi pi aid also means a base cannot accept testimony from a witness who heard from a witness. In other words, in order to testify about an event, you must have seen that event directly, not heard about it from someone else. Ella, Amud Beis, Ella, le'edos isha bilvad. I will say the only exception to this rule is edos isha. Now, the pashtos, what this means is as follows. Edos isha, I will say, means that halacha lemaisa, to give testimony that a woman's husband died. Remember again, this is an area in halacha where we relax the standards of testimony. So again, if someone knows that Rachel's husband died, so we will accept the testimony of one witness, we'll accept the testimony of a woman, and we'll accept aid mi pi aid. Now remember again, the whole reason why we relax the standards of testimony in that case is the Gemara says, Mishum iguna akilu barabanan. We do not want to create aguna situations. And if a woman, if it's difficult for her to ascertain the death of her husband, it could create a potential aguna situation. So the Gemara says, Ibai luhu, aid mi pi aid le'edus b'char mahu. What's it about for edus b'char? Remember, edus b'char is as follows. Your firstborn animal belongs to the Kohen, unless, of course, it develops a blemish, and then it becomes the property of the Yisrael owner. Now, the one thing we have to be careful with the blemish is that what? That the Yisrael did not intentionally cause the blemish in order to hold on to the animal. So you need testimony that the blemish occurred on its own. So the Shaila Rabbah say is aid mi pi aid, one witness who heard from another witness, is that enough to go ahead and certify that a bechar is quote unquote properly blemished? So the Gemara says, Rav Ami Asir, Rav Ami said no, Rav Asi said yes. Omer Rav Ami, Rav Asi, v'hat tana de be minashia, ein aid mi pi aid kasher, ela la'idos isha bilvad, But we learned, right, the Brisa B'nai Menashe said that Eid Mipi Eid, one witness or another witness, is only good in a case of Eidos Isha. And I will say, in Eidos Isha, we assume means to testify that a woman's husband died. Ela'ema, the Gemara's Ema, li Eidos Sha'isha Kesher La'Bilva. No, meaning it says Eid Mipi Eid is only permitted in any testimonial situation where a woman's testimony would be permitted as well. And since a woman is permitted to go ahead and testify regarding a blemished bechor, therefore halacha lemaisa eid mipi eid will be kasher as well. Rabbi Yemar achsher eid mipi eid lebechor. So Rabbi Yemar in fact allowed the testimony of one witness to another witness, right? Eid mipi eid for bechor. Listen to this. Karya lemaremar Yemar shari bechra. So Meremar got very upset and he called Rabbi Yemar Yemar shari bechra. Yemar the bechor permitter. Sounds much better, you know, in the Lashon of the Gemara. But yeah, right, that was the shtach. The hilchasa, and we'll say, what's the halacha? Eid mipi eid kasher lebuchar. We'll say the halacha is that, in fact, eid mipi eid is kasher for eidos buchar. So that's just an interesting aside. So halacha lemaisa, again, you could have one witness hear from another witness and give testimony about the fact that the owner did not intentionally blemish the bechor in order to go ahead and certify that the bechor need not be given to the kohen, but remains the property of the owner. Chalos devash. So we'll say, if you remember again, the Mishnah spoke about this case of chalos devash. So chalos devash are honeycombs. So we'll say, so the Mishnah said, chalos devash shariska me'erev Shabbos yotzu me'atzman asurin. If you crushed honeycombs on Erev Shabbos, and the honey flowed out over the course of Shabbos, the Rabbanon say it is aser, and Rabbi Eliezer says that it is mutter. So says the Gemara, so chalos devash, ki aser Rav Hoshe min Narda, asa v'aisi masnisa biyadei. And Rav Hoshe came from Narda, he brought the following Mishnah with him, zeisim v'anavim sheriska me'erev Shabbos v'yotzu me'atzman. If you crushed grapes and olives on Erev Shabbos, and then the juices flowed out on their own on Shabbos, asurin, the juices are aser. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Matirin. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon allow it. So the Gemara says, okay. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Gavri Yisir Aslashmina. So Rabbi Yosef says, I don't understand. So Rabbi Oshia didn't really bring anything new. This is our Mishnah. All right, just here in this case, it's Zaysim Ma'anavim. Our Mishnah was honeycombs, right? It's the same thing. If you crush something on Erev Shabbos and the juices flow out on Shabbos, the Rabbanon say it's Aser. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon are Matis. Well, so the only thing that Rabbi Oshia did is he added an additional name. Our Mishnah only has Rabbi Eliezer. He's adding on Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Gavri, Yisrael, Shashminan, Amar Le Abayi, no, Tuva Kama Shalom. The Rabbi Oshia is teaching us something very important. The Imam Asnisin, for if it was just from our Mishnah, Hava Amina Hasam, Hu Dimei Kara Uchla, Ula Basuf Uchla. So this is very interesting. The honeycomb itself, in the beginning it's food, and in the end it's food. In other words, its status doesn't change. Maybe that's the case where ultimately, again, Rabbi Eliezer says that you could eat it if it falls on Shabbos. Aval Hocha, the Me'ikara Ocha, Basof Mashke Emalo. But I might have thought that in the case of crushed grapes or crushed olives, where it was food and now it becomes liquid, maybe Rabbi Eliezer would not allow you to drink that which flows on Shabbos. Kamash Malan, that is not the case. Kamash Malan, that even in a case of grapes and case of grapes and olives, if you crushed it before Shabbos and the liquid flows out on Shabbos, halacha lemaisa, again, Rabbi Eliezer would allow you to consume it. So we'll see, just an interesting aside, that here the Gemara is treating honey like a food item. Even though dvash, honey, is one of the liquids that's machshir item lekabel tuma. All right, so it's an interesting discussion. We'll say, the Gemara ends over here, the halachos of Slita. We're going to have to do the halacha lemaisa. I just want to get through the rest of this stuff, but I owe you that halacha. So we just closed out the unit of Schita, and in the next time we will come back to the Halacha Lamaisa. Let's just, if we manage to pull out a couple of minutes, I'll do it at the end of today's year. So Mishnah, Kol Sheba B'Cham Me'erev Shabbos, Shorin Oso B'Cham in B'Shabbos. What was an incredible Gemara? Bishol, anything, we'll say that literally what it means is, any food which came into hot water on Erev Shabbos, you could soak it in hot water on Shabbos. Which we'll say is another way of saying, any food which was cooked before Shabbos is not subject to bishul anymore. This is the concept of ein bishul achar bishul. Once a solid, this doesn't apply to liquids, once a solid food item is fully cooked, it is no longer subject to the halachos of cooking on Shabbos. So therefore, again, if you cooked it in hot water on Erev Shabbos, you could soak it again in hot water on Shabbos. We'll see the parameters of that. The choshaloba b'cham Erev Shabbos, mandichan oso b'cham Shabbos. But if something was not cooked before Shabbos, didn't come into hot water, you can't soak it in hot water on Shabbos, but what you can do is rinse it in hot water on Shabbos. Again, we'll see the parameters of all of this. Right? So this, obviously, this rinsing is not bishul. This rinsing is some, like, kind of taking off the shul. You could do that on Shabbos. There are exceptions to this rule. Maliyah chayosha means old salted fish. V'kulyas ha'ispanin, Spanish mackerel. Shadachas and zohi gemar malachton. For rinsing with hot water, it affects complete bishul. So we'll say, this is incredible. The Mishnah is introducing us to this category of food items called kali ha'bishul. There are some items that are very easily cooked. So for most items, if they're not cooked on Erev Shabbos, you could rinse it with warm water on Shabbos. Why could you rinse it with warm water on Shabbos? Because that's not gonna cook the food. But there are some items that are so easily cooked that even a rinsing with hot water has the ability to affect bishul. Those items, of course, cannot be rinsed on Shabbos. Examples of that, interesting enough, apparently, the examples the Gemara, the Mishnah brings are fish, right? So old salted fish, Spanish mackerel, those are very easily cooked, and therefore halacha lamaisa cannot even be rinsed with hot water on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, kigon mai. So I'll say, what's an example of something that was cooked on Erev Shabbos, or cooked before Shabbos, and therefore could be once again soaked in hot water on Shabbos? Kegon tarnagulusa to Rabbi Abba. Oh, it's like the chicken of Rabbi Abba. So we'll say, what happened? This is actually interesting. Look at Rashi. Tarnagulusa to Rabbi Abba. Mevashla v'shora osu yamim rabim b'chamin limchos merle v'ochla l'refua. So apparently this special dish, this chicken dish, was soaked in water for a long time until it dissolved. And it was eaten only for refuah purposes. Well, this is an interesting Gemara. Listen to this. Amar Rav Safra, get ready. Amar Rav Safra. Zimna chad iklas lahasam. So Rav Safra said, you know, one time I went to Babel, va'ochlin minei, and they went ahead and they gave me some of this Rabbi Abba chicken. So the v'ilo Rabbi Abba dishtakin chamra bartlasa tarfi is nasi. And had Rabbi Abba not given me good wine, right, 3-year-old wine, I would have thrown it all up. Which apparently was Rav Safra saying, this chicken dish is disgusting, right? Which, I mean, it's dissolved chicken. It's dissolved chicken. So Lemaisi said, I would have mamish thrown it up had I not had something. I'm supposed to say, once again, you see Chazal telling you, good wine solves a lot of problems, right? It's very, very interesting. So you're going to say, Rabbi Yochanan, Raik mi kusach tibavla. Rabbi Yochanan, whenever he would mention kusach bavla, we also remember again, we've spoken kusach many times. Kusach was that Babylonian dish which was made from moldy bread and soured milk. Rabbi Yochanan, whenever he would mention kusach, he would spit, like in disgust, like that kusach was disgusting. Amar Rabbi Yosef, v'leiruk anamitagin also the Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Yosef apparently was a little bit offended because he was a Babylonian, right? So he said, well, you know what? If Rabbi Yochanan is going to spit because of kusach, I could spit because of Rabbi Abba's chicken dish. That was even more disgusting. V'od amar Rav Gaza, zin inchad iklas lahasam. Because Rav Gaza, you know, one time on Eretz Yisrael, v'avidit kusach tebavloi, shalu minei kobrechim arav. You know, one time on Eretz Yisrael, and I whipped them up a dish of Babylonian kusach, and the people couldn't get enough of it. So they'll say, so apparently, now it's interesting, the people who were actually clamoring for it were people who were ill. So apparently, again, I guess kusach has, it's like penicillin, right? It's, you know, it had some curative effects from I guess, the spoiled milk and the moldy bread. Kol shelo ba b'chamin. So we'll say, the Mishnah said, anything that ultimately, again, was not cooked on Shabbos, was not cooked before Shabbos, cannot be soaked in warm water on Shabbos, but can be rinsed. Says the Gemara, Hidiach Mai. So what happens? So now, remember, except of course, for the items the Mishnah said, which are Kali Bishul, very easily cooked, like the Spanish mackerel, the salty fish, where you can't even rinse it in hot water. So what happens if you did rinse it? Om Rav Yosef, Hidiach Chayiv Chatos. If you take a salty fish or Spanish mackerel and you rinse it with hot water, you chayv chatas, because that is an active bishul for them. Omer marbrei dravina af ananami tanina. We learn this chutz mi maliach yashan the kulyos haispanim shadachosin melachton shnamina. Also, we learn this except for the Spanish mackerel, salty fish, for simply rinsing them with water affects bishul and will be asur. Also, listen to this Gemara. Yosef Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Asi kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Asi was saying for Rabbi Yochanan. V'yosef Rabbi Yochanan kamed Rabbi Yochanan was dozing. So the three Rabbanim were saying that Rabbi Yochanan was dozing. Why are the ofos? Why is the fowl, the birds of Babel, fatter than the ones of Eretz Yisrael? Amarle, kalech lemidbar Aza, verich shwanim. It's not true. I'll take you to the desert of Aza in Eretz Yisrael, and you'll see even fatter birds. Mipnei ma moadim sheba Babel smeichim. Why is it? This is incredible. Why is it that the yamim tovim in Babel are more joyous than the yamim tovim in Eretz Yisrael? Mipnei shehin aniyim. Because they both say in Babel they're poor. They're poor than Eretz Yisrael. So because of that, the only time that they really eat meat, really drink wine, and are really besimcha is on Yom Tov. Mipnei ma talmidei chacham shebavel mitzionin. Why is it that the talmidei chachamim in Babel wear exceptionally nice clothing, whereas in Eretz Yisrael the talmidei chachamim wear much simpler clothing? Lefi she'inon b'nei Torah, because at the end of the day, the Babylonian scholars are not so much b'nei Torah. They're not such great b'nei Torah. It's a shame b'nei Torah. Kolkach lechabdam kibnei Eretz Yisrael machmas Torah. Some mechabdin osam machmas luvushen shenir luvchavushen. So apparently, again, the talmidei chachamim of Babel are not as great, and therefore they need their clothing in order to get covered from the general populace. Mipnei ma ovdei kochavim mizuhamim. Why is it that ovdei kochavim are impure? Mipnei sheochlim shkatzim v'ramasim, because they eat impure things. So we'll say in the midst of all this discussion, Isra b'hu Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan woke up. Amruhu dardiki, said to my children, lo kach amar to lechem. Have I not told you before? Emru lachachma chosiat. Say to wisdom, this is Mishlei. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Rabbi Yochanan darshins. If you know something in Torah that is as clear to you as the fact that your sister is aser to you, then say it. And if you don't know what you're talking about, don't say it. Rabbi Yochanan gives a little bit of muster. He says, how many times have I told you? If you don't know what you're talking about, don't open your mouth. So Rabbi, what problem did you have? What thing that we said did you have a problem? Listen to this. He said, I'll tell you, all three. Listen to this Gemara. Erev Tisha, while we're learning this Gemara. Why is it that the birds of Babel are fatter than the birds of Eretz Yisrael? Mipnei shelo galu. Because the birds of Babel never had to suffer galus. They were never exiled. Shene'emar, sha'anan mo'av minu arav. Because again it says Moab is tranquil from its youth because Moab never had to go into Golos. How do we know that the birds of Eretz Yisrael were exiled? The Sanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nun Beis Shana, Lo Aver Ish Bi Yehuda. For 52 years, this is after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. We'll say, do you understand the timing of this game? We're learning about the Churban today. So for 52 years, a person, there was no Jew who walked through Yehuda. There was no Jew who walked through Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, Ala Harim Esabechi V'nehi. Me'of HaShemayim Ba'ad Behema Nadadu Hilchu. Halachu. So we'll say, so it says for 50. So what happens? Behema B'Gimachia Chamishim V'Tarti Avu. Ultimately, again, the Gematria Behema is for 52 years. So we'll say, so you see over here that what? That it went for those 52 years, it wasn't just people. Me'of HaShemayim Ba'ad Behema Nadadu. Even the animals, the ophos, everything was out. So you know what? The birds of Eretz Yisrael were exiled. Exile takes its toll on you. Galus takes its toll on you. So because of that, the birds themselves in Eretz Yisrael are thinner than the birds of Babel. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kulan chazru chutz micholyas ha'ispanin. All of the animals came back to Eretz Yisrael from Galus, with the exception of the Spanish mackerel. The Amarav, so we'll say, why not? Why didn't the Spanish mackerel come back? The Amarav, Hani Madri de Babel, Mahadri Maya Le'en Etom. The Sigmar, so we'll say, all of the slopes of Babel, they slope their water back into Ein Etom. Ein Etom was a primary spring in Eretz Yisrael. The Hai, so we'll say, what that means is, essentially, Babel is lower than Eretz Yisrael. So what happened over here is, the Hai, Kevon de lo Sharir, Shadre lo Masik Saleh. Ultimately, this is what happened over here. This is incredible. What happened over here was that in order, Babel is lower than Eretz Yisrael, which means that for this fish to get back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, what had to happen? They had to swim upstream. The Spanish mackerel has a very weak spine, a very weak backbone. And because of that, ultimately, again, it doesn't have the ability to swim upstream. You want to see here the incredible Musar? In life, you have to sometimes swim upstream. But in order to sum up shame, you have to have a strong backbone. If you're wishy-washy, if you don't have a real identity, and if that identity is not rooted and solidified in Torah, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Avodah, you can't swim against the current. You'll just simply get washed away with everything else. We'll say one more line, then we'll stop. Why is it that the Yamim Tovim in Bavel are more joyous than in Eretz Yisrael? Because in Bavel, they were never part of that klala. So the Gemara says, quotes over here, the Pasuk. From Hosea, Vishbati komesosa chaga chadsha v'shabasa v'chal mo'adeh chadshechem mo'adechem sana nafshi hayu aleichem l'torach nil esi niso. So ultimately, again, so here, because the Gemara says that the Navi, there was a curse. There was a Chesed Baruch who says, I hate your Yomim Tovim, right? You've made the Yomim Tovim despised. You made the Shabbosos despised. So because, again, you did these things, therefore there was a klala on the Yomim Tovim and Shabbosos in Eretz Yisrael. But above all, this never happened. My Havi Alai L'Torech, what does it mean you made it a burden upon me? Amar Belazar Amar Chesed Baruch Hu, Lo Dayin L'Yisrael Shechotin. It's not enough that the Jewish people sin. L'Fanai before me. Ella, Shematrichin Osi Leida Eze Gzera Kasha Avi Alehen. But ultimately, again, you make it difficult because I have to determine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, which punishment to bring upon you. We'll stop over here. Again, it's incredible that we see this Gemara in the midst of Erev Tisha B'Av. We'll continue, Merz Hashem, tomorrow evening. We'll say Shir tomorrow night after the fast. We'll start a little bit early. We're going to start at 9:45. 9:45 p.m. here in the shul. It'll also be Merz Hashem on Zoom. Wishing everyone a wonderful and meaningful and an uplifting, wonderful, because we have to find the avodah, we have to find a way to Mirat Hashem bring out the nitzotzos kedusha of Tisha B'Av, which Mirat Hashem will be zocha to do together. Shiach b'osai.